I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Millbrae, California. We're here with Art Schwass, the general manager at the Best Western El Rancho Inn and Suites. Hi, Art. Good to see you again.
Good morning, Tom. Good seeing you as well.
Yeah, I'm glad I got you. As you know, I just flew in from China. I thought, what a good opportunity to talk to you. One, kind of the state of the travel industry and the hospitality industry. As we both know, these are the good days. These are the good times. Rates are high. Occupancy is high.
Well, as you said, Tom, times are good. The industry's changed dramatically with the advent of Airbnb, as well as all the OTA travel sites, Expedia, Booking.com, as well as the social media and the feedback that guests can provide other guests. So we feel we're positioned extremely well. Our customer feedback is excellent. We always are cognitive of a price-value relationship for our guests. Prices in San Francisco are just continue to go up.
They're just doing gangbusters.
Still very strong. I've been through it a few cycles. Once this happens, new supply comes online. So the relationship will turn a little bit in future years, but we still try to provide a very strong value for our regular room rate as well as our park and fly rate to allow those families to travel and enjoy their trip.
You mentioned Airbnb earlier. The perception from the outside is that's eating into and eroding your demographics, your market. And yet it really hasn't caused a negative, has it?
No, there was a little bit of an effect on the major conventions. We've heard people renting out boats, obviously small apartments. So there's an effect in the big cities, San Francisco, New York City. Again, our relationship is with our generational customers, and I think once you stay with us and try us, there's a different price value as opposed to what Airbnb may.
And historically, my relationship with the Best Western El Rancho goes back decades, as you know. One of the reasons that I've always loved it, and when I go to L.A., I think it's the Hacienda. I'm not sure it still exists under that brand, but it was so nice and is so nice to not be under that stress of driving for 4 hours and praying to God that there's not a car wreck or something, some sneeze in the routing to make you miss your flight. And so I like coming up the day before and overnighting and relaxing and then shuttling to the airport. And historically, the super value, in my opinion, with you and the other park and flies is including your parking. So that underwrites your overnight stay, doesn't it?
It really does. And our program's a little different than the long-term parking options. You're still faced with that travel in the morning. So we recommend come in the night before, enjoy our terrace cafe, maybe a cocktail. You don't got to worry about driving. We'll store your car for you. And also, if you want to stay on your return, we provide a very economical price point. And some guests maybe won't stay on the night before their trip, but when they get back in town after a 12 or 14 hour flight, which you just experienced, some people will spend the night after their trip.
And for me, it depends on when it takes off and when it returns. Nice. Like going to China a couple weeks ago, it was mid-afternoon, so I could have easily motored up the coast. But when you've got an 8 a.m. outbound and you got a four-hour drive to get to the airport, you might as well just stay up all night and start driving at 1 a.m.
That's right, and that's not a great way to start your trip. And they want you at the airport 2 or 3 hours before your flight. So even an 8 a.m. flight, you're up at 4 or 3. Even if you're at our hotel, grab a morning breakfast, which starts at 4:30, and it just takes the stress out. You know, we want you to enjoy your time, and it should start the day before your trip.
What does it typically cost to park a car at San Francisco Airport per night?
$25 a night. The airport's going through major renovation, and they've actually had to close a lot of their parking areas, so they're up to $25 per night.
Wow, that's crazy. So 7 days is how much?
It's $175 just for the parking. So okay. If you stay a week, I don't know how you, if you do simple, I'm not great at math, we provide a pretty good price point. We're about $229 a night, and we'll store your car for up to 14 days.
So right there, you do the math, and you start deducting the car park fee, and you've got a $30 room.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
So it really is a no-brainer.
You know, they call that priceless.
And it is interesting that as I try to think of other park and flies around SFO, are there others? Can you think of another?
All the airport parking, as you said, those the dynamic that comes up is when you start to store cars, you need to have a place to store them. And we're fortunate to have secured an offsite location about a mile away, which is guarded at night, very safe. And it allows us to really do it on a pretty major scale. A lot of the other hotels will try to do park and fly, but that's more or less park out in the parking lot and pick our bus up at the lobby. We'll pick you up right in front of your room and drop you off in front of your room and bring your luggage into your room as well.
But there aren't many other hotels, no matter what, even their own parking lots, that do that, are there?
Very, very few. And we've been doing it for 30 years. Right. I think it's something we've got ourselves into, and we're very good at it. We're very proud of it. But it's not something you take lightly. I think that's what prohibits a lot of the other hotels from even trying to consider it.
I know the backstory, and that's the owners, the family. They were lucky enough to have bought real estate here probably, I think it was 1949.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had not had that blessing, this game never would have been able to play out.
That is correct, and we've been fortunate to have the business stay in the family for all these years.
Let's talk a little bit more about the industry, where it's at right now, and what you see coming up. It's in flux, but it's good times right now. It still is.
Good times. The Moscone Center is going through a major renovation. Some of the very large conventions have opted out, so that might provide a little bit of opportunity for a little bit of a price drop in the summer season. But people are traveling. The baby boomers, you know, there's nothing in life that the experience of going out and traveling the world, and we see that continuing for years to come.
What I find really fascinating as when I do projects in San Francisco, is what a truly international destination it is. Down on Fisherman's Wharf, when you see people from China, Japan, Germany, all over the world there.
Yeah, we see a lot. We do cater, besides our park and fly, to our business we call it FIT, which is mostly European-based. Mm-hmm. We've had that business in play for years, and now we're seeing a large push from Asia. That market is growing 10, 20, 30% every year. So it's really one of those very unique cities, and the airport's positioned to be with light rail, the BART system, the Caltrain. You can easily stay here. A lot of people do. And we'll take you over to the airport, get you hooked up on BART. You can go in the city, spend the day, and come back. And besides the cost of the airport parking, cost of parking in San Francisco is in that same ballpark.
Japan has, for quite a long time, for decades, has been a major inbound tourist demographic. But it's only been in recent times that we've seen the Chinese inbound tourist as a real player. How has that affected you?
It's continued to build our leisure business. I think there's also a business component as well, but we are really a leisure-based property. And as the middle income grows in China, those families are doing the same thing we want to do, is travel, and it's such a convenient starting point. San Francisco, Los Angeles as well, but San Francisco and the Bay Area, as you mentioned, is just such a fantastic place to start your trip. We just see more and more of those faces as you walk the property in the morning or go to the breakfast room and say hello to people. You just see more and more international faces all the time.
You're really blessed in that it's a huge referral and repeat business, but yet you do continually have new people, and you continually have to work the system to a point. You just can't sit back. What things do you do? Is it all new media, web-based stuff, or are you specifically targeting China now?
There are a number of, as we call, OTAs in the business, Expedia and Booking. There's an OTA called C-Trip, so there's been a lot of technological advances from the inbound side that allow people to book into the Best Western system. That's been very, very advantageous.
Because you're a part of that flag, that's where you glean a lot of your business internationally then.
That's very true. Best Western is primarily leisure-based, and they have a very robust booking platform. They continue to add other wholesalers all the time, and that's continued to feed business right directly to us.
And because you're a member of the Best Western family, you pay a premium. It's not cheap. You pay a lot of money to be a member, but that's the direct benefit.
Correct. You know, the option is to run your hotel independently. I think that's become easier.
Oh, you do? Because of the web and internet?
Absolutely. I would assume 80% of our business is now booked through the web. 4 or 5 years ago, it might have been 80% booked on in-house. We still have a full reservation department because our guests know our property so well. They'd rather talk to us directly and get their special room that they've had the last 4 or 5 times they've been here.
Again, that's because you're basically a family operation and a family attitude and style.
That's correct. I was just looking on TripAdvisor today, and the last two reviews, one family said they've been here 25 years, the other family 35 years. So it's really generational on the ownership side and generational on the customer side as well.
There's one more thing I want to talk about. One of the things I love when I park in your parking lot, I was just over parked in the employee area, and I love looking at the license plate frames that the employees have. What do they say?
I love working at El Rancho Inn.
That's pretty cool. I mean, if that isn't a testimonial of great culture for employees, that they are so proud that they put those on their license plate, I haven't seen that before.
Yeah, and that's really what we're all about. I always say, you know, a hotel room's a bed's a bed's a bed, and the differentiation for us is our great people, and it's a real partnership.
I'll concur on that one. Art Schwass, it was awesome to catch you. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. We look forward to another visit, Tom.
For Central Coast residents, for example, where are you located and how would they find out more about you?
The best way is on the web. We have our own website, elranchowinn.com. That'll direct you to all the benefits of our park and fly, as well as guest rooms, some great pictures. That's probably the best way to contact us.
And that's to talk to a human being at your front desk.
Absolutely.
Art Schwass, thanks again so much. This is great.
Thank you very much, Tom.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Millbrae, California, at the El Rancho Best Western.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Leave.